Since I started, I was starting to have to use the H, I'm sorry about that. I was really interested in, yet you know, when I got started, because I had not been too interested, although I had been given a book, a genealogy book, that had been compiled and about the family, and but I had looked through it. But if you have ever read one of them, you know you just have to read your mind to get anything out of it, because it is so complicated in a way, and if you don't have any background. I don't know why we weren't interested in learning about our family. My name is Ella Hutchins, and my family's name was Erickson. My mother's name was Smith, her father was John Smith, now I don't know which one. And when I think about the background of the families, I was really surprised at how many cousins they came from. My mother's grandmother was from Ireland. My father's mother was Pennsylvania Dutch, but people came from Holland. My grandfather was French, and then there were other nationalities too, from the family, and so on. That's all in the background. But how interesting you would be in that, I have no idea, because after I got to reading, I wasn't interested until I started in all this. So I don't think that I won't may it be a black mark if you're not interested either. The name is Garibus. My name was Garibus, G-A-R-R-I-G-U-S. But as it started, it was a French name, and the G-A-I-G-A-R-R-I-G-U-E-S meant that it was a royalty. And there was a big Garibus and a long Garibus. Garibus was pronounced in French, not my French, and I have two or three names that I'll have to say. If anybody knows French, you're out of luck, or I am. But the name was Garibu when it started. And the first name that was in this list was an ancient word. The word came from, it was an ancient provincial word now incorporated into French. And it is drawn from the estate once held by people of that name. Part of the, and I, there's a French word, Cidentes, I do not know. Mountains are called the mountains, Garibu. And part of the provincial province of Valencia is called La Garibu. So you see those are two names. Does anybody know French? What does La and Li mean? I couldn't find it anyplace. Well, I wouldn't know. So if you know what that means, what the difference is. And I can't even pronounce the French name, so you're up there unless you know how it's going to be. Count Arnaud Henry Garibu. And he married Rosanna Bocoli. So that was the start in this genealogy of the family, because and came from France and the province of Malaysia and Cervantes. But being left a long time ago, I had understood that the family wasn't French, that they were from the royalty, that they were in the court in France, and that during the revolution they fled for their lives. But this gentleman must have left France before, because he went to the West Indies. And then he returned to Paris, and his name was Arnaud Henry. And this family has had five children, and I'll just give you the first son's name, so we just get the genealogy from my own family. And it was Matthew, so that name was used then, and he came to America. Matthew's son was Jacob, and he had nine children. Jacob the son had 12 children, and then his son was David, and David's second son was Jeff the Senior. Now, that's the first name that I came to that I recognized, because my father's name, my grandfather's name was Jeff the Senior. Jeff the Junior. My uncle, his first son was Jeff the Cass Third. So that's the way the family name started and came on down through there. And by this time, the name in America, because some of these people have been in the West Indies and come to America, some have gone back to France, some of these brothers, I think there have been five brothers, have scattered, some to Holland, some to Greece, some other places, and then some have come to the West Indies and some came to America. And of course, I don't have the whole, someplace, I forgot where they said it was. But, and I have never seen the name in print except twice, except in my family and in the local paper. One time I read in the paper that Jackie Onassis had visited the Lawrence Garrett U, that had been entertained at the home of the estate of Lawrence Garrett U in Greece. And I read that once. So that's the second. I'll tell you all about the good part, because my book knows anything about the bad things, so we won't know anything about them when you go home tonight. And then another time I saw in the Country Gentleman, a country paper, that was printed in the Midwest, that Nathaniel Garagus was the county agent in Indiana. So I got, that's the only two times outside of the local papers that I have seen the name in print. Yes, I expect it. And there must be lots of them, because as we go on down through this list, let's see here, Son Max D.D. David. And David's son was Jephthah Sr. David was one of them. There was Henry, and Matthew, and Jacob, and David, and then came my great-grandfather. I don't think it's great, but I'll count that pretty soon. And his name was J-E-P-T-H-A, Jephthah Cass, and that name came clear down through then. By this time, the name became just plain Garrett's, and that's the way we had always known it. And so, but I think from this, it is still the other. I know that the man in Greece, his name is Jephthah. Jephthah was born on the 7th of June in 1775 in Indiana, and married Elizabeth Beach, and they had 13 children. Jephthah was a colonel in the War of 1812. Then he married Mary Paxman, and they had 11 children, and was the 10th son, Jephthah Cass Garagus Jr., born in 1842, who was my own grandfather. And I knew my own grandfather. I knew my great-grandmother, too, and that was on my grandmother's side. My grandmother's name was, she had been married to, my grandfather was in the Civil War. And my grandmother's husband was in the Civil War, but he was killed. And she had one child, and her name was Clarissa. Now, Clarissa, you'll be interested in, because she came to the city a long time ago, and I couldn't find the dates, and I asked one here, but things were sort of mixed up when I asked him, so I was to come back, and I didn't come back. But Clarissa came to the school at College Academy, and she worked part of her tuition out by working with the Indian children over at the Indian school on just at the other side of town. She contracted tuberculosis from the Indian children and gave it to one of my father's brother, who was just younger than me, and they both died. And I can remember being carried into the room where my uncle Ip, he was my favorite uncle, I was just a small youngster, but he always played with me, and I can remember him and being in bed, and both he and my aunt, she was my stepdad, died of tuberculosis. My father, in my father's family, there were 8 children, And my father was a sibling, son of my grandfather. And his name was Orville. And the first son was just the best. And he lived there. I knew, of course, I knew all my uncles and aunts, because I had been here a long time. So I knew them, and I knew my great-grandmother. And my grandmother's name was America. And her name was D-Y-K-E. No, D-Y-C-K. D-Y-C-K. She was Dutch. And she had married a John Davis. And they apparently had come out to Washington and called them, because I know my father went up there. And then my grandmother, when my own grandmother was sick, she came down to take care of her, my great grandmother. She was a tall, slender woman, very severe. My little Dutch grandmother, I didn't see how they belonged together, because one of them was tall and thin as a rail, and my own grandmother was just as plump as a and happy and lucky, except for her children were concerned, and she was a little bit strict, but she kept them in mind very well. Of course, she had eight of them. When they first came, my grandfather was in the Civil War, and I better look at some of my notes, or I will get lost. He came to the Willamette Valley in 1836, and he received the Donation Land Pledge, and it was out north of Banks, not due north. It was on, there's a road that goes due north through Banks, and then there's one that goes catty corner and goes to Buxton, and this was in this branch off of the Buxton route, and then north of Banks, we used to call it, we called it the Cricket Road because of the crickets. If you remember, a Harvard cricket had been mortuary here for years and years. His family lived right across the road from where my father lived, one of his sponsors. And my grandfather had the donation land claim up there. Then he was eligible for a homestead. And so he got the homestead right next to his donation land claim, and it was down in the valley. You know, that little valley, it's a very deep valley, and it sure is narrow up in that area. It doesn't widen out very much, so it's way down this way. And so it was rugged country, and it was timber country. You know, such large areas of it were covered with big trees. And on my grandfather's farm, it was the same way. Well, he had his place on the donation land, but he built a house up there, but he did not, and cleared out just a little for garden and things like that. And then they built the other house down on the wetland that followed the creek down, followed the, I don't know what they called now, I should have looked that up, and I didn't think about it. We always called it Garden Street because it ran clear through his farm, and a branch came in from the west that flowed into it. And they called that after my uncle's name. So, but it was before he came through there. And he built a house, a good-sized house down on the flat, and he built barns, and he planted orchards and cleared a lot of the land. And he planted, I can remember the apple orchard. It was the joy of each other's lives, because there were at least 50 trees in an apple orchard, all the way from red junes to what they call those little hard grindstone apples. Little ones that would stay through the winter no matter how cold it got, and you could eat them next spring. And so, and all those kinds. And red pear maize, did you ever hear of them? And bald ones, and red cheek pickums, and I can't even begin to name them, but we just loved that orchard. There were two creeks that flowed down to the place, and so we had lots of water. And of course, in those days, they never thought irrigating. He had big barns and chicken houses, and a bee house, and raised cows and hogs and sheep and bees, and had to fight all the wild animals that were plentiful then, because I don't know, maybe maybe three blocks. Would be, well, maybe more than that, to where the timber began. And Hooters came because he had sheep and he had chickens and he had pigs and they liked it. Hooters came and bears came and all the sort of animals. And so they were, I can remember that, and that town there. And lots of music and noise, and but they needed them because they had to kiss them. The dogs would start bellowing, and the boys would grab their guns and where they'd go. And we did, and we'd tell them to stay at home, and we never did. And we followed up the hill. There had been another old place way up on the hill, and a barn, and an old house. People had lived there that I had known of, but it was empty then, and so we went up there, and it was skunks in the house. Well, the dogs, they tried to take care of it. They'd go in, and oh, they'd come out so sick, it didn't make you want to cry. They were so stupid. But they never did get them. But finally, then the boys throw the dogs and put them home. And one time they started out, and just my uncle that lived on the place then was at home. And we went up past the barn, because we went up to the barn, it was on the hillside, and then down into the creek bottom beyond that. And the dogs had a cougar up too. And oh my, it was scary looking. But he had three big dogs. So they kept him up the tree, and my uncle shot at him, I can remember, and was yelling at me all the time, to run, run, run home. But I was so enthralled with seeing that big cat, and his neck came down and left. I don't know that he was, I don't think my uncle did, but he came, that was no play for him, so he came down, and the dog right after him, but they came back to the scene, so he was the California with me, and they got tired, I'm a good man. And another time, the dog started out, and there was a bear up close to this old house that was way up on the hill. And he was up a tree. Well, they couldn't see it. They could find him. I mean, the timber was so thick, but we could follow the dogs. So we, and there was lots of timber down too, logs down. And we'd run down the log, and here we were on the log, and my uncle come up to me, and the dogs were right there, and the bear was up the tree. And sure, I got stolen, but then that didn't help. Mm-hmm. And but we scooted when we heard him, and he just came down the tree just that fast, and we didn't get him either. I don't think they're very good hunters, but when we had lots of fun at it. They had, there were all sorts of predators around, and they were big too, because of the timber, and they were moving into the country from the timber, and they were becoming more plentiful because there was more food as the farmers built their farms and had stuff that they could feed on. I surely thought it was a wonderful place. I thought it was just about next to heaven. And we had a good time, my sister and I. I didn't tell you about my, I should tell you about my father, Samuel, too. My grandfather had eight children, as I said, Phyllis and John. Died at the Bookmosis. Then he had an older son, my father, then John. Then there were two sisters, Edna May, Edna L. And Centennial was the next one. Then there was a brother, Eric, and then my Aunt Mary. Those were the most important. My Aunt Mary went also to form to college and graduated. I'm sure neither my father nor his brother graduated. And that's my aunt too. When she married, we don't forget that, but was in the community gather. Perfect. And they lived on part of the place too at one time. My mother was from the Smith family, and my mother's name, as I said, was Jolly, and she was from Ireland. Her parents were from Ireland. She wasn't from Ireland. Her name was Margaret Smith. And when my father was married, he married Al Smith, and they were married in 1890. 1989. And I was born, of course, that, well, between Kansas City, Bricktown, Kansas City, and Tulsa, on the Law Baker place, and my father was in. Then my father started the logging for years, and there are relatives, and I can't remember which one it was that lived up there. I couldn't think of it today. That lived up with the Shears, but then the boys would all go up into Washington where they had other relatives who had a good logging operation. And so, and my father went up there to work and as a logger. They first moved into town up there by Kansas City, and then they moved up onto Grace Harbor. My father, he worked up there one season while he moved his family up there. And that was just before my sister was born. And my mother's family lived in Hoover, and she was there when the baby was born. Then we went back up there. Because I can remember that soon after that, my father got the measles. The measles was just rampant in that area. And he gave it to my little sister, and she wasn't very happy. And we lived in a house that was right on the river. I can't tell you whether it was the river or the bay that came in there. I've been up there since, but I can't remember. Didn't find it, you know, saw it before, didn't see it before. But in this house, we had, it was a duplex, and we had bedrooms upstairs and living rooms downstairs, and my father was upstairs. And so I can remember, I can see myself wheeling the baby puppy back and forth and back and forth. And she was between 6 and 7 months old, so you see, I was two years and 7 months old. But I remember that. I must not have liked it very Anyway, they both came through it, the measles, and then we come back and forth between, you know, we come down here. I know because I started school in the brick school when I was 5, and I don't know how long I went. Well, we must have been home, maybe just through the winter. I don't know, but they bring back here, and I went to school there. But anyway, then we would go there because my sister. I started school in Dax, but then 2 years later, she started school in Saxon, in Washington. That's between Monticello and the town of Saxon, then Saxon School. We had to walk then from, you remember? Well, maybe none of you are as old as that. You remember the big fires that they had in Western Washington at that time? Horrible, horrible forest fires. And the railroad came, well, from north, through Monticello, through Stafford, on the south. And all of that country, on both sides of the railroad track, they had to fight to keep it away from the farms that were just, let me think, just west of the railroad. And the railroad run north and south. Our house was on the west. They were north and south, and it was on, our house was on the east side of the railroad track. The farms were along the river on the other side, and we were up on sort of a bench, this area was on sort of a bench. But anyway, the railroad runs in there, and we walked to school. We started to climb, my sister walked, and we walked a mile and a half down the railroad track. And we passed some hobo dens, but we nearly were afraid of the hobos. Of course, one time I got my little sister. Much of the one of the doctor must have been awful hungry because he took the sisters. But we didn't pay any attention to that. We were scared to death of the trains. You know? We had never seen them move up the fair hardly. And so when we'd hear a train coming, we'd ride in the rush. Not gone past before we'd ever go off to school. And the snow said once in a while, well, they'd be walking up or down the railroad track. And we would stay away from them. We didn't know enough for that. But we lived there not too long there because we came back and I went to school at the first school again. And so I graduated from the eighth grade. Master Sales, who was in town, graduated the same time I did. And then we went the first year, he and I both went to Banks School. school in Gold Falls. And then the next fall, when we were out of school in the summer, the next fall, I had typhoid fever because my father, my grandfather and my mother decided that they would go to Fox out and Centerville out here. And I had typhoid fever. And so I didn't get to go to school the next year. I lost all my hair and so I wasn't content with that. But the next year, then my sister and I went to Fox Hill to school and we both went to the hospital. After I graduated from high school, I thought one year out of Hillside, and there's one of my pupils. And if you can imagine what kind of a time I had between 25 and 34 pupils. I was just out of high school. I had absolutely no training to teach in school. Why they ever hired teachers like that, I don't know. But you see, we got along all right, I guess. And I liked it. I lived up there in the community with one of the families, the Crackshaws, and Kelsey Crackshaw's mother and father. And I had a good time, and I learned a lot. The next year, while I was talking with Mary Ann, so I didn't teach any more school, actually. Not any more school at all. My grandfather's family have lived around here most of the time, my uncles and aunts. My Uncle Cass was married and had a family. His wife divorced him and moved to California, and now one of her daughters married a Frenchman. And the gentleman who perfected the games for TV. Anyway, he lives outside of Market Cornelius, even now. She has got a few years out back and forth. That's her son, not the man she knows. And then she married again. Her daughter lives in Hillsborough now. She moved up here to be close to her. So I have that. That's what they don't know. I don't know. Most of them are in the book. most of them are gone. I do not have in the land, for example. I have very few cousins. And we have none of the families were extra large. I think my people passed back to seven children. And just one cousin. There may be others, but by the time they were growing, because he married late in life, many of his family, and my father was married very young, I couldn't possibly figure out how from the books that the dates that he couldn't. That must have been, I know that my mother was 19, and I was born the second year after their marriage. So, just a little difficult for me. But then I have an aunt who married Albert Friday, who was in the neighborhood, and I don't have anybody else. You knew the one who was the barber. Frank, yes. And his children lived around. And I guess the only son is probably of his own. And then I had one of my aunts married Ingalls. And some of their children are alive. But one of my aunts, the Ingalls, lives in Portland. And I see him. And he's got there in the year. We have a sort of a reunion. I don't know what else I can tell you, but I can tell you that I think that I just lived at the very best time in the world. And I had troubles too, but then I have had a really good life. and we lived close to the timber, and it was really, as children, there isn't any better place for a family or the furthest movement. And we just had a wonderful time, and we learned to do things. And when we were growing up, and there was lots of the timberland that was cut off near us, between us and Buxton, and beyond Buxton, and up at Compton, we took wild rock birds and things like that to enjoy it, and we traveled all over the country. I can remember when I was just a little girl how much heavy the timber was, because my father had a friend who lived over that mist. So we started out one day with the wagon and went to visit him. We got there just in time for supper and stayed all night. And from the time we left Buxton, we never saw the sun, and it was a bright sunny day. But the timber was so heavy. I can remember my father telling about the timber that he helped log at Longview. That was the most beautiful stand of timber that was on record. The biggest trees, the tallest trees, and big around, and he would bring home apples. I told you about my grandfather's beautiful apple orchard, and you know the apples there. And he'd bring home these great big red ones and the great big yellow ones. We'd take a bite or two out of them and give these pigs, because we didn't like them. They didn't taste like apples, they were too dry. We didn't care for those kind of apples. And we traveled around some, but not very much in those days. It was then a long day and a half for the roads were too rich. If you any of you lived in this country when the mud was this deep. If it was much traveled, it was thin and terrible to get through. But between banks and forest roads, the roads were just awful. And so we didn't go any place you didn't have. We just didn't travel. We were so happy. We lived there when the railroad came through. And my folks worked on the railroad that next week to Tillamook, and then on the other too. And that was a condition to the community. Because then we could get out by the train. And after Arlo and I were married, we had in the car, and we, because of the war, he was given deferral because we had a sick lady. But he had to work in the middle of the park. And we had to ride the train. Thanks, the park road. Well, my mother would take us, and my father would take us to Forest Grove, the 10 or 12 miles to Forest Grove. Then we would ride the train to Portland and back to Newburgh, because my grandparents lived in Newburgh. So that's how even how many convenience is. I can remember when we went to Washington, we were just about 20 miles from Monticello. That's where we got off the train, or off by the mother. We ran over two stokes. And I happened to be sitting where the track came up through. Oh, it made me so sick. They wanted to throw me out, but they didn't dare. But I can remember that some of the experiences that we had in traveling around here. If there are questions that you'd like to ask, I'd be happy to answer them, because I didn't know how much of this you really were prepared to listen to.
Weren't there garrigases up where your family was today? Weren't there some garrigases up that way? That was garrigases.
Oh, okay.
My father's family lived north of Banks, about four miles in there, 5 miles. One uncle lived about 6 miles on the Banks on the road that we used to call the Pips Road. That went up across to the Coney. And that was the manor. Now as to what they are doing now, there's just, like I said, most of my cousins and my aunts and uncles are gone, and all my brothers and sisters, my sister and my two brothers, and some of them. So I thought I had a good time today as long as I had. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
The Garrigus who had, he was a real big deer, he
Yeah, that was my brother, he's gone. He worked for McCready's, when McCready's were here in town. Then he went to Oceanside, Ocean Lake, and worked for McCready's. Then he bought that, the sea. He came back to, he bought the yard at McMinnville, and he came back here. Then when the yard at Ocean Lake was sold, was ready for sale, he bought that too. And then he had the one down the corner too, so he had those three yards there. And they bought the one here in Portville, the third, my son-in-law, after he came back from the service. Run this yard here for them. But they sold it to the rest of them. And my brothers, I had just four children. I mean, there are two of them from the chapter, and we were in the university. And I had three. So I got five children. I have two. Justin lives in Hillsborough, and Richard is a teacher of science at the Milwaukee Hospital.
How did it happen that you and your sister married brothers?
Well, we were in the same community. We did not go to the same school, but we went to the same country church.
She married his younger brother. Did you marry right in Banks or out of? There was a church that you
were in. The Banks, it was north of Banks, close to the Snyders. The Snyders gave part of their farm for the church to be built. And the neighborhood built the church, and it was up on the road. And you know, the Wilcoxes, they lived in North of Banks. They were in that area too.
It's not the same one that Marsh's aunt and uncle were married in. And that's what I was trying to.
No, I think they were married at the church in Banks. Or they were married at Marsh in Banks.
Uh-huh.
They had their 65th wedding anniversary January 1st. Yes. You knew that. You were even Jackie Edwards.
Yes.
I gave that information to the paper. Someday they'll get around to doing something about it. They said it might be a while. So it's not, I mean, you know, if you didn't do it before the 1st of January, which was the anniversary date, 65 years is the number of years.
Yes.
I think they should have had some publicity at that time instead of sometime in the future.
I remember
65
years. Well, now you can guess at my age.
Anybody else have any questions to ask? Your family or about the area?
What?
Where do you live now?
Where do I live now?
Same house?
No. I live down, I live right across from the Christian Church now. When we first came to town, we moved into a house up on East Street. What was it then? Second Avenue. On Second Avenue and B Street. Between on and C Street. On Second Avenue and C Street.
But she lived over,
Yes, I live now down by the I live down by the Christian Church now.
Yeah.
We did move down close to the high school, when the high school was down in that part of town, where the Catholic Church is. We lived down there, too. And then we moved out when Arbel was ill for a year or two, and we moved down to the farm down on the road, across from the news place. So we lived out
there. When did you first come into public school?
When I first went to high school in 1910. I graduated from high school then, you see. I graduated in high school in 1913. I was married in 1914. Most of the time since 1910. So I've seen some changes around me too.
Somewhere around 1910, the fact that we saw about
54, I moved in. I have typhoid fever, and for all the 4 years, my sister would correct most of the things I said because they were crooked. But I learned them again. I learned dates and I learned people.
When I was just a little girl, I guess 4 or 5 years old, my folks had a homestead outside the field store. My dad worked in Forest Grove. And I remember being in Forest Grove. And my mom came forward, parked out in front of your shoe store, and playing with the raindrops along the edge of the top. And I somehow, I guess the door came open anyway, I fell out. I think they took me in. He took me in the store.
How long was it, the Hutchins shoe store?
43 years.
43 years. It's located about where
Wayne's. Part of Livingston's now.
Is it? Okay, I was thinking it was
after
store.
After they moved the shoe store down the street, the other street, Ferguson bought that building. Their maple store. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the grocery store is still, I mean, I think it's still called the grocery store. No, we were always at
all the time.
Yes, because you see, Wampus bought all the store first, remember? And then he moved it on to the corner, and then he moved it down. And then Mr. Walker's brought a store at, Silverton, that's right. Well, there's Silverton. You got more memory of those things than I have. And then he wanted to, Mr. Walker's built like the shoe business, and so all of that. Thankful for this.